Welcome to New Covenant Church of the Apostles. We are completing our series on the Final Great Awakening today. It's titled Removing Hindrances to Great Awakening. Have you ever wondered why sometimes you pray and the answer seems immediate, but then other times you pray and you have to labor in prayer? You have to soldier in prayer. I'm reminded of some of the struggles we went through when Sister Anne was deathly sick and the doctors were not expecting her to live. There were hours spent with people soldiering in prayer for her to get the miraculous deliverance from death. Well, one of the things that we see in the scripture is that it addresses this. There are hindrances to prayer. There are hindrances to the Great Awakening. The reality is that we are in a spiritual war. And we have an enemy. And he makes it his goal to try to hinder. And he can't win. In fact, he's already lost. The blood of Jesus has taken away his authority, taken away his right, taken away his standing, secured our rights. But until you go to court, until you get that court order to take the enemy out of the way, there's this ongoing battle. And so tonight I just want to go into a few verses here which shows this here. And our primary text is going to be in Daniel, the 10th chapter. And Daniel was praying. He was engaging in intercession. And he was engaging in intercession for 3 weeks. And throughout this chapter, we're going to see an anatomy of what's going on here. Starting in the first verse, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, and the thing was true. But the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. In other words, Daniel was praying and fasting over this matter. And in the fourth verse here, we find out that he received his answer to prayer on the 21st day. In the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hadekel. Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded like fine gold of Uphaz. His body was also like beryl, and his face was like the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. The men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision. So Daniel's having this heavenly vision here. Angel of the Lord. A lot of this language is similar to language used to describe Jesus in Revelation. So he's now seeing the heavenly world, the spiritual world, after 20 days. And so he's about to have a conversation with this angel. And this is what he tells Daniel here. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, there I was in a deep sleep on his face. This is Daniel talking here, my face towards the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees, and upon the palm of my hand, he said to me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand aright, for unto thee I am now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. And I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. So we see this angel here. Now, sometimes in the Old Testament, when it refers to angels, it means the angel of the Lord. It's a theophany. This is not one of those. The reason we know this is not is if it was Jesus Christ appearing, the entire hordes of the kingdom of hell could not stop him. But this was one of the angels God sent. God heard Daniel's request and sent an angel on a mission to answer it. The angel has a hostile encounter with the kings of Persia. Now keep in mind here, this chapter has given us some clues as to the organization of the kingdom of darkness. These were not humans withstanding angels. These were demonic princes. These were demonic powers who made it their point to resist the mission of this angel. And so he was detained for 21 days or otherwise locked in battle for 21 days. Until Michael, one of the chief princes, one of the angelic princes, came to help him. And so when Michael came to help him, he was then able to get through to deliver the answer to Daniel. Verse 14, I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. That just means that this is a vision of the far off future. Daniel's about to, in the latter part of this book, to give a glimpse of things that are being fulfilled today. A glimpse of things that would relate to the Antichrist, that would relate to the second coming of Jesus Christ. In verse 15, and when he had spoken such words to me, I set my face towards the ground and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. And then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows have turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? As for me, straightway there remain no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Daniel was ushered into the presence. He experienced the Shekinah glory of God that was with these angels as this angel was ministering to him. And today we might talk of it as falling under the power, but what Daniel experienced here was of a greater magnitude than most of those instances. The power of God, the glory of God was so overwhelming, he couldn't even breathe. He couldn't even talk. And so in verse 18, there came again and touched me like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. So Daniel received strength of the Lord. And 19, and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened. So this angel spoke the word of the Lord to him, to minister to him, before even getting to the meat of the mission here. Let's continue on here. In verse 20, then said he, knoweth not wherefore I come to thee, and now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I'm gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth me with me in these things but Michael, your prince. You're seeing in these two verses a glimpse of how both angelic and demonic principalities are organized along the lines of nations. He's now talking, you know, he talked about the prince of Persia, which he already had referred to Persia. But then it's talking about the prince of Greece. And if you remember some of the prophecies in chapter 7 of the succession of kingdoms, after the Persian Empire was going to dominate the world stage, then Alexander the Great would come in and dominate the world stage. And so these are references to powers and strongholds that are organized around nations. And they come and go as nations rise and fall, as nations move upon the earth. So the application day is that there is a demonic stronghold and angelic strongholds that relate to the United States of America. There's another stronghold to Ukraine, to Russia, to China. We're given a glimpse of the organization of the kingdom of darkness. And of course, the angels also set up their fortifications along similar lines in their fight against the demonic hosts. And then we see at the tail end of verse 21 some further information about Michael. It says, Michael, your prince. What does this mean? This means Michael was assigned to be the prince or the angelic guardian over Israel. Because Daniel was an Israelite, even though he was a prime minister in the Babylonian Empire and then later the Persian Empire, he served there. He was at heart and fundamentally an Israelite. He was a member of the royal family who became displaced when the diaspora came upon Israel as a result of the Babylonian invasion. And he and some other young men that were a part of the royal family were brought up in the court of the king of Babylon. And so Michael is the prince who guards Israel. And now we've gone from Daniel to Revelation 12, because Revelation 12 takes the same narrative up, but from a different point of view. And here's where we're going to get to the meat of how hindrances are removed. We've seen so far how Satan and his minions can hinder the answer to prayer, how spiritual warfare that happens whenever effectual prayers offered might delay the answer. It might be necessary for you to pray 3 weeks. It might be necessary to pray 3 months. Some people persist in prayer for years until they get their answer. But we see in Revelation 12 the scene of Satan being cast down. We read there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused him before our God day and night. And they overcame him with the blood of the Lamb and with the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives to the death. Verse 12, therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell therein. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he has but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman that brought forth the man-child. So we see at the end of this war, Satan is cast out of heaven. After this, he is no longer able to accuse us before God. We're going to find here that he is not able to hinder anymore. And so when this day comes, his hindrance will be gone. Satan, however, is currently hindering prayer via manipulation as the great accuser to stage his attacks on earth. When Satan is permanently banned from heaven, he can neither stage his actions on earth, nor can he appeal to God's law to provoke wrath. When Satan is cast to the earth, he will be limited to existing in the three physical dimensions and moving through the fourth dimension of time. And this is why in Revelation, after he's cast to the earth, the entire narrative shifts to the rise of the beast system. Because you see, at this point, Satan is no longer able to hinder prayer. So what he needs to do then to hinder God's people is that he has to put his boots on the ground. And so he gets behind the rise of the Antichrist and through guns and force and the bayonet. That's how he opposes us. What does this mean for us in terms of the final great awakening? And what I'm about to say is the punchline. It's the end game to all of this when this happens. And that is, in this context, prayers will be unhindered, receiving instant answers. While there's famine and darkness and sword, while we're going to see persecution unlike the world has ever seen before, there's going to be great demonstrations of God's power, not only in answers to prayer, but we're going to see cosmic signs in the sun and the earth and the moon that point to the soon return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So with this in mind, let us seek God to permanently ban Satan. Let us boldly go before the throne of grace, and while we're praying for the miracle that we need, while we're praying for wisdom from God and the other answers to prayer, let us ask God and say, Lord, your word says Satan has no more standing in heaven. According to your word, the blood of Jesus is taken away. Satan's standing. So God, we ask you just to permanently ban him from heaven, bar him from ever accusing the brethren. Cast him to the earth as your scripture says is going to happen. We need to persist in that prayer. We need to join together to pray for that end. And very soon, folks, Satan will be cast from heaven, followed by the worst nightmare this earth has ever known, followed by the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we come right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we just ask for you to just stir up people to seek you in this hour, to seek your intervention. And Father, we ask you that you stir up people to seek you to have Satan permanently banished from heaven. And that after this, we can see the greatest awakening the world has ever known. We can see you move. We can receive strength from you to endure the persecution that's going to come upon us when Satan is actually roaming the earth. And Father, we pray the prayer that John prayed at the end of the book of Revelation and said, even so, come Lord Jesus. We pray all this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen.
Amen.